that as we yield to the Lord, He guides us and gets us to where the Holy Spirit guides us to where we need to be. And some of y'all are in the wrong place because the Lord didn't guide you there. The Lord never intended for you to be there. You know, some people end up in marriages that they never should have been in because they took it into their own hand. They didn't trust the Spirit. They didn't trust the Word of God. They just forced their way into it. They forced their way into that relationship. Holy Spirit, man, the Holy Spirit was blocking like the Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line in 1974.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude part two of Anointing Fall on Me from our series, Will the Real Holy Spirit Please Stand Up? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of part two of Anointing Fall on Me.
He's going to baptize you with fire. And He's just going to burn the sin out of your life. He's going to clean your soul and allow you to be purified. Okay, so again, the clear teaching, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. The obscure teaching, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Okay, so how do they say it? I'm just saying. Let's move on. Let's move on. Go past that chart. I'll do that another time. Okay, so the next thing we want to look at is another powerful ministry of the Holy Spirit, which is guidance, the anointing. We're saying, Holy Spirit, fall on me. Holy Spirit, guide me. Now, in order for me, let's read these verses here that talk about the Holy Spirit guiding us. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. As we talk about the Holy Spirit and his ministry of guiding. Acts chapter 16 and verse 6. And it says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia, and here Paul is with his companions, his entourage, and they are on a missions trip carrying the gospel. And they are being led by the Lord as they figure out where to go to preach the gospel. And when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit allowed them not. So we see the Holy Spirit twice. What did He do? He stopped them twice. And verse 8, and they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia beseeching him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. The Holy Spirit did what? Guided them in the way that they were supposed to go. What is the function of the Holy Spirit in our life? It is to guide us. That if we yield to the Spirit of God, He will guide us. If you ever been on a tour and you have a tour guide, the tour guide does two things. First of all, he leads you from site to site. So if you go to the Holy Land, I told somebody next February, the first person I find that's going to the Holy Land, I'm getting up out of here, out of here. I'm not staying in this cold next February. I'm going. But yes, amen. But, you know, what does a tour guide do? He leads you from place to place, all right? The Holy Spirit is a guide. So then when you get to the various sites, what does the guide do? He explains them to you. Oh, y'all missed that. Let me go over here. Y'all missed that. The Holy Spirit, the guide, he leads you from place to place. And then when you get to the place where you're at, he explains to you what that site is all about. What does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit guides us from place to place. That when we yield to Him, that the Holy Spirit will lead us and will guide us. In 1978, after I had tried out for the Denver Broncos and didn't make it, I was discouraged. I was depressed. And I remember going back to Durango, Colorado, having graduated from college and really not knowing what I was supposed to do. You know, just knowing that I had put all my eggs in that one basket and that basket fell through. And my pastor had gone to Florida to visit his family. And I don't know how you get from Florida to Virginia, but he did it. And on his way back from Florida, he stopped in Virginia, Lynchburg, Virginia, at Liberty University. And he picked up, because he thought that he might want to go to seminary. And so he picked up an application to the seminary. And when he came back, you know, we had a meeting and we were talking and we were sitting there and he said, Bill, you know, I was at Liberty and, you know, I picked up an application for seminary. He said, but I don't think I'm going to go, so I'm just going to give it to you. And so now I filled it out. I got accepted. Next thing I know, I was pulling a U-Haul on my way to Lynchburg, Virginia. So what am I saying? It was the Holy Spirit that guided him. Now again, if you look at a map, you don't have to go through Virginia if you're coming from Florida to get back to Colorado. That's out of the way. But he went through Virginia. He picked up the application. He gave it to me. The Lord shut me down. The Lord shut down my dreams. He, you know, I was trying to go over to Macedonian Denver Broncos, right? And the Holy Spirit forbade me. No, no, no. The year before that, I had a trial with the Dallas Cowboys. I was trying to go down there. The Holy Spirit said, no, no, no. And my pastor comes back with an application. And the Holy Spirit said, in a dream, in the night, come on over here. No, he didn't. It was like that. I was just quoting the scripture, right? I was just quoting the scripture. All right, that as we yield to the Lord, He guides us and gets us to where the Holy Spirit guides us to where we need to be. And some of y'all are in the wrong place because the Lord didn't guide you there. The Lord never intended for you to be there. You know, some people end up in marriages that they never should have been in because they took it into their own hand. They didn't trust the Spirit. They didn't trust the Word of God. They just forced their way into it. They forced their way into that relationship. Holy Spirit, man, the Holy Spirit was blocking like the Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line in 1974. Man, the Holy Spirit was blocking you every step of the way. Chop block, cut block, all kind of blocks. But you push through because you wanted to do what you wanted to do. And so we need to realize that when we yield to the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will guide us to where we need to be. He will guide us to the relationships we need to be in. He will guide us to the jobs that we need to have. He will guide us to the company that we need to hang around with. When we trust the Holy Spirit, when we submit to the Holy Spirit, He guides us the way that we are supposed to go. And then what's the second thing that God does? That God gives you information. That once you get to the site, the God gives you information. Look at John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And in John chapter 16, verse 13. Now, so He guides us what? Where we're supposed to be. And then once He guides us, He informs us. John chapter 16, verse 13. Nevertheless, when He, the Spirit, who is that? Holy Spirit. When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will what? Guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit leads you to, to where you need to be. Man, this is powerful. This is powerful. He leads you to where you need to be, and then he lets you know it. He lets you know everything you need to know. Oh, man, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting this morning. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. Wow. He leads you to where you need to go, and then he lets you know everything you need to know. And so we need to realize that, saints. And again, not trying to belabor the point, but if we're in a mess, it's most likely that the Holy Spirit didn't lead you into the mess. The Bible said that God is not the author of confusion, and God is not going to lead you into a mess. Now, you know, he might lead you into some difficult circumstances. He might lead you into some trying situations, but God is not going to lead you into a mess. The Bible says that the blessings of the Lord, it makes rich, and with it, he adds no sorrow. Guidance. What's another function of the Holy Spirit? He seals us. Now, when we talked about the emblems of the Holy Spirit, I talked about the seal, but let me go into a little more detail today. Another function of the Holy Spirit is to seal the believer. In Ephesians 1:13, it says that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We are also told, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30. The minute a sinner receives Christ as his Lord and Savior, he is sealed with the Holy Spirit. But what does that mean? You know, there's a legal expression that we use, and I went and I looked up the origin of this expression, and that is signed, sealed, and delivered. And, you know, what does it mean? It means that an important document that represents the transaction was signed, it was sealed, and it was delivered personally to the individual it was intended to go to. So I thought about it like this. I was thinking that when Christ died on the cross, that he purchased our pardon, all right? And that when I got saved, that this is me. That God folded me up in the Lord. And he put me, my salvation, in an envelope. So Christ is the redemption. He signed my pardon. He signed off on the fact that I could have eternal life. Then he put it in an envelope. And the Holy Spirit sealed it. And the Holy Spirit has the letter. Holy Spirit is going to God. Now this is me. I still got to live my life. And so I go, and sometimes I get sick and I don't feel like I'm saved, but I'm sealed. Sometimes the devil says, hey, they go Bill Glaze, give me that envelope and let me open it. The Holy Spirit said, no, I got it. He's sealed. Sometimes people want to talk about me and take me down and make fun of me and that they want to take my name in the mud. And the Holy Spirit sometimes have to come and say, look, Bill, you might be a little discouraged right now, but let me show you something. You're sealed. That you don't have to worry about all the things, all the trials in life, because I got this. I got this. And the Holy Spirit keeps walking through the rain, through the snow, through the storm, and then one day you're going to close your eyes in death and the Holy Spirit is going to say, here you go, God. He sealed. He sealed it until the day of redemption. And that great theologian, Stevie Wonder, he said, like a fool, I wouldn't stay too long. Now I'm wondering if your love is still strong. But here I am, baby, signed, sealed, and delivered. I'm yours. I'm yours. That we are signed, sealed, and delivered. The Holy Spirit seals us to the day of redemption. Can't open this. You can't get me out of here. The Holy Spirit has it. Thank God that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. The last thing I want to say this morning is that we are anointed by the teaching of the Holy Spirit. That we have some great Bible teachers in the body of Christ. But the greatest Bible teacher, Pastor Tain, I wish I could have sat under him. Man, somebody told me he was a great Bible teacher. Those of you who were here, you know him. You know Pastor Tain. And one thing that Pastor Tain did, he got this church rooted and grounded in the Word of God. I'm not saying there are other pastors before him didn't do that, but that's the one thing that he was known for, was to get people rooted and grounded in the Word. Just go ask Bo Ford and Tim Metcalf and people like that, who were here under the ministry of Charles F. Tain, right? So there's been some great teachers that Bethany Baptist Church has had. But the greatest teacher that we can have is the Holy Spirit. He is the greatest teacher that we can have. If you look in your notes, it says the Holy Spirit is necessary to understand many things, but he is essential in the understanding of the Word of God. In order to comprehend the Word of God, one must have the Spirit of God. Jesus communicated this to us before he went back to heaven when he said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." And so Jesus is speaking to his disciples, but he's still giving us insight on the Holy Spirit. Now look, Paul really makes this clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. He says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words of man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things." So the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He is our teacher. Now, if you go to that next slide, what is the Holy Spirit's work in the ministry of teaching? Now, you got to understand this, all right? This will help you out. The Holy Spirit's work in teaching deals with illumination, okay? Illumination. As believers yield to the Holy Spirit when reading the Word of God, he would teach them by shedding light on the meaning of the Bible and how to apply it, all right? So, the Holy Spirit's work in the Word of God, first of all, is revelation, and that is, revelation is the Holy Spirit giving the Word of God to man. So when man got the Word of God, it was revealed to them by the Holy Spirit. Then there was inspiration. And what is inspiration? Inspiration is when the Holy Spirit guided man to write it on paper. And so when man wrote the Word of God on paper, it was without error. Okay? He protected it from any error. He protected those men that when they wrote that Bible, see, people today will say that there's errors in the Bible, there's contradictions in the Bible, all this other stuff. Let me say this. When the Holy Spirit guided those individuals who wrote the Bible, there was no error in it at all. He protected them completely from making any mistakes, and that's called inspiration. So now we got the revelation. Now, really, there's no more revelation going on. God has already revealed all that he's going to reveal in his Word, okay? And inspiration, as far as anybody writing any new scripture, that day is over unless the Lord does something new. So where does that leave us? That leaves us with illumination. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. That as you read the Word of God, that He breathed light on the Word of God in the hearts of people. And we just read part of that verse right there. And so as I'm reading the Word of God, I have to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate the Word of God. I don't pray for the Holy Spirit to reveal the Word of God. I don't pray for the Holy Spirit to inspire the Word of God. But I pray to the Holy Spirit, illumine the Word of God. Lord, shine light on the Word so that I can understand it. Shine light on the Word so that it can penetrate my heart. Show light on the Word so that I know how to apply the Word to my life. And that's illumination. And so we need the Holy Spirit whenever we read the Word of God. That whenever a preacher studies the Word of God to deliver, he needs the Holy Spirit to illumine what the Word of God is saying. So we think about, man, this wonderful Holy Spirit that we have. Man, this wonderful Holy Spirit and the anointing that the Holy Spirit brings. Will the real Holy Spirit please stand up? You know, I think that as I close, that as we begin to, somebody say amen. They say amen because I'm closing? Yes, amen. All right. You know, as we have this wonderful Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is just so meaningful and so rich, and then, you know, we want to pinhole the Holy Spirit over here and say, well, he's only going to do this. And we want to corner the Holy Spirit over here and say that he's only going to do that. But man, let us open up our lives to this wonderful work of the Holy Spirit. There was a father who had gone on a trip, and he had been gone quite a bit. And he was feeling kind of bad, so he told his son when he came back home, he said, son, I'm going to take you to the store, and whatever you want, I'm going to buy it for you. Whatever you want, I'm going to buy it. And so they got to the store, and you know how kids are. The first thing he saw was a coloring book. Hey, Dad, I want this coloring book. Man, I've been wanting a coloring book all my life. And the father said, no, son, what? Let's just keep looking. You know, let's look a little bit further. And he saw this toy that he liked. He said, Dad, oh, man, I saw this toy on TV. I always wanted this toy. And the dad said, look, just, you know, let's just look around. And then finally he got to the place where the bicycles was. He said, man, Dad, look at that bike. He said, I always wanted a bike just like that. He said, Dad, can I have that bike? And the dad said, son, I told you anything that you want, I'll buy you. Now, look, he was willing to settle for a coloring book, and he was willing to settle for a toy when his father knew all along that he was going to buy him the best thing that he asked for. He was willing to sell his father cheap. And how many of us are selling the Father cheap? Because we're not opening up our lives to this wonderful Holy Spirit. Jesus said that if you pray for the Holy Spirit to fill you and to guide you and to teach you and to anoint you and to baptize you, that he's not going to deny you, that he will give that to you. My friends, don't cheapen the work of the Holy Spirit. Take these notes. The scriptures that we've been talking about, go look at them further. Investigate them. Know the fullness of the Holy Spirit and all the Holy Spirit can do.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of part 3 of Anointing Fall on Me from our series, Will the Real Holy Spirit Please Stand Up? If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, part 2 of Anointing Fall on Me, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request part 2 of Anointing Fall on Me. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request part 2 of Anointing Fall on Me. Or you can contact us at 877-831-5060. Again, that's 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can request the entire series, Will the Real Holy Spirit Please Stand Up? We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Please keep in mind that we remain on the air through your prayers and gifts. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.